witness for peace. Where is the refuge I need? Speak peace to my heart, Lord Jesus, in a world where no peace is found. In a still, quiet voice, remind me to trust thee.
Very much. Take the word of God, please. Turn with me again to the book of Matthew chapter 4, the book of Matthew chapter number 4. We'll pick up our reading in verse number 19. Matthew chapter 4, verse number 19. I began this message this morning on Jesus' ministry and the different things that the ministry of Jesus involved. And we're going to pick this up right where I left off this morning. I'll go back and tap some things on the head just to make sure you're with us and know where we're at. Matthew chapter 4, verse number 19. Good to see these teenagers up here on the front row. God bless them. I like them up here. You say, are you pressuring them? No, I'm not pressuring them. I mean, I realize it's a little pressure when the pastor says, I like to see you up here. But I'll tell you one thing it does for your teenager, it helps them pay attention. Amen. So this is good. I like it. I want to see more of it. Wouldn't it be great to see teenagers just taking up all three of these first pews right here? I'm just putting that plug into you right there, okay? That'd be a good thing, all right? By the way, don't you appreciate our teenagers around here? They're doing a great job. Brother Bob, his dear wife, Miss Lindsay. We have struck gold. Some days I feel, no, I'm just kidding with you about that. I was listening live on Wednesday night. By the way, that's an amazing thing, listening live and so on. And I appreciate Brother Bob. And he's growing. You're growing in your preaching, my friend. God bless you. And I'm glad to see it. The Lord is pleased with what's going on at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. And that's really all that matters, isn't it? If the Lord's pleased, that's all that really matters. Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. He saith unto them, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. Going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. His fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, those which were lunatic, those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And they followed him, and there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee and from Decapolis and from Jerusalem and from Judea and from beyond Jordan. Again, I give you part two to the message entitled Jesus' Ministry. Let's pray together. Father, help us tonight. Thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for our young people around this place. Lord, I thank you for Brother Bob and his dear wife, Miss Lindsay. I pray, Lord, that you'll bless every ministry of this church. Lord, the music ministry, the bus ministry, the children's ministry, the youth ministry. Lord, in here, all these adult ministries that are popping up and getting some things done. We confess we need you today. Help me as I preach to be filled with the power of God. Forgive my sins. Help me to be a clean vessel in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, just to kind of bring you up to date about where we're at here, I'm talking about the ministry of Jesus found in Matthew chapter 4, verses 12, down to the end of the chapter. Now, what we're doing in this is we're doing a Bible study about different things that were involved in the ministry of Jesus. By the way, if you're going to be a follower of Him, these same things will be involved in your life, you understand. The first thing that was involved in the ministry of Jesus, this is all repeat. I'll let you know when I'm up to date here, okay? But first of all, we saw that Jesus' ministry involved prophecy. We saw that in verses 12 to 16, and the major thought that came out under that was that His ministry did not contradict Scripture, it confirmed it. And we see that the Word of God was confirmed by the ministry of Jesus Christ. The Word of God is true, is what I'm trying to say, and we see that through the ministry of Jesus. Number two, we notice Jesus' ministry involved not only prophecy, but secondly, purpose. This is brought out in verse number 16, where it says, "The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up." And in this, we saw the purpose of the ministry of Jesus was to penetrate the darkness of the world with Himself. He is the light of the world. Then number three, we noticed that Jesus' ministry involved power. We saw that in Luke chapter 4, verse 14, where the Bible says He came in the power of the Spirit. And if Jesus Christ had the power of the Spirit, so do you and I need the power of the Spirit to live everyday life in our marriages, raising our kids, on the workplace, in home, you name it, you need God's power in your life. Number four, Jesus' ministry involved preaching. We saw that in verse number 17. And in that, we brought out several things that preaching pleases God. You cannot silence God's truth, because even though John the Baptist, his voice basically had been cut off, if you will, they were going to kill him. He's sitting in prison. Jesus is still thundering forth the Word of God. Then we saw, thirdly, that the message is unchanging because Jesus preached the same message that John the Baptist preached. Then we saw, number five, that Jesus' ministry involved proposal. And in this is found in verses 18 to 22, where He went by two sets of brothers. He went by Andrew and Peter. Then He went by James and John. And He proposed to both of them that they follow Him and He'll make them fishers of men. In order to follow Him, this is where we left off this morning. Number one, they had to forsake some things. In other words, this morning, just like Andrew and Peter forsook their nets, that was their way of living, and James and John forsook the ship, that was their home, if you will. I mean, maybe not literally, but you understand what I'm saying. They forsook their father, the Bible says, and they forsook their nets. So we see in this that in order to follow the Lord, many times you have to be willing to forsake something. Many times you have to be willing to forsake someone. And where I left off this morning basically was with this thought: are you willing to leave anybody and everybody behind to follow Christ? Now, in American Christianity, it's a shame that you even have to say that today, but few people really know what it means to forsake. I'm talking about there are many people in American Christianity that they believe that they're suffering for Jesus if the air condition goes out. They believe they're suffering for Jesus because the back of the pews don't have padded things for your back. And you understand that some people think that, oh, I'm really suffering for Jesus today because they run out of Lay's potato chips down at the supermarket. Do you understand that there's people around the world today who have turned their back literally on their family? They have turned their back on their job, their business, their homes, and they are under spiritual attack and possible death as you and I stand here and I speak tonight. We don't think that way because we're not there. We don't see it. But I wonder today if somebody came into this auditorium, God forbid it, but it could happen. If somebody came into this auditorium, put a gun to your head and said, deny Christ or I'm going to blow your brains out, what would you do? I'm just going to let that sink in just a minute. Are you willing to forsake anything or anybody, including yourself and your comfort? This is where we left off this morning. Then number two under this, I'm still under Jesus' ministry involved proposal, the proposal to follow him. And in order for them to follow him, they had to forsake. But number two, they would fish. Now, notice what he said in verse number 19. He saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now, Jesus tells Peter and Andrew in this verse to follow him, and he would in turn make them fishers of men. Now, the Lord in this was giving Peter and Andrew something they could identify with. See, they had spent much time fishing for fish, but the Lord wanted them to be fishing for men, which is far more important. See, he had a far more important employment for them. He wanted to use them to take men out of Satan's kingdom and bring them to his kingdom. Now, what a privilege this was for Andrew and Peter and then James and John. The Lord told them if they follow him, they would not only have to forsake, but they would in turn become fishers of men. Now, let me say here that the Lord said, if they follow him, he would make them fishers of men. Therefore, if a believer, now get this, folks, you know where I'm going with this, and I realize that basically I'm so-called preaching to the choir here, if you will. In other words, I'm not giving any new revelation. There is no new revelation. It's all the Word of God, but right here we see that when the Lord said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men, then you have to read it the way he meant it. What does he mean? He means if you are not fishing for men, you are not following me. That's what he's saying. Because he said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. In other words, if you're not fishing, you're not following. And we understand this here. Therefore, if a believer is not a fisher of men, he or she is not following the Lord, and therefore there's something or somebody in their life. It could be their own comfort. It could be their job. I don't know what it is. It could be their family. I don't know what it is. But something or somebody is in their life that they need to forsake. You may tell you why so many people are not fishing today for men. Because they're not following Christ. But if they're not following Christ, it's because they're not willing to forsake something back here. It's a progression. He saw them fishing. He saw James and John with their father. He saw them in the comforts of their life and making their living. And he says, follow me. He's saying, are you willing to forsake? And he's saying, if you are, you follow me and I will make you fishers of men. You know what the cure for soul winning is? It's not a soul winning seminar. Now, we're for them because I do them every now and then. The cure for soul winning, in other words, if you're not soul winning, it's not because you don't necessarily want to, it's because you're not following Christ. You are either fishing for men or you're not, my friends. There's no in between. I mean, you're not, listen to me, you don't have a rod and reel and it's frozen in midair. I'm saying, are you fishing? Are you putting bait in the water? Are you out during the week and fishing for the souls of men? Somebody says, no, I'm not. What's the problem? I know what the problem is. You're not following Christ. Because if you follow Christ, he will make you fishers of men. But if you're not following him and you're not fishing, could it be that there's something here, somebody here, that's holding your heart? Could it be something else that you love more? Could it be fear that you think you don't know what you're doing? I don't know what it is. But anything that combats the will of God is something that you and I need to forsake. Are you with me tonight? He's saying, he's proposing to them, follow me. And just like I said this morning, what a privilege Can you just imagine Andrew and Peter and James and John when all of a sudden they see the blessed Son of God come by and he stops and he says, hey, you guys, come with me. Follow me. What a privilege. I mean, what an honor for Jesus to propose and to invite people to follow him. And if you're going to follow him, you have to forsake. And if you're going to follow him, you will fish. Now, one thing that we're trying to do at this church is give you different bait to use, if you will. Now, we understand that the Word of God is it, the gospel is it, but we're putting many hooks in the water. We're putting a lot of hooks in the water. What's the difference? It's called trot line fishing. Listen to me. You show me somebody that has one line and one hook, and you show me somebody else who has 20 hooks on a line in the water, I'll guarantee you that the one that has 20 hooks has a better chance of getting a fish than the person who has one. This is what we're doing in this church. Why are we doing a cancer ministry? Why are we doing a widow's ministry? Why are we doing Sunday school? Why are we doing a bus ministry? Why are we doing Cadets for Christ? Why do we have a youth ministry? Why are we preaching our guts out? Why in the world are we out? I'm talking about taking up close to $300,000. We took in $298,000 this year for Faith Promise. That is amazing. I mean, almost 300. Why give you money? What is the purpose? Why do we have a John Sevier Chapel? Why are we trying to get into East Tennessee State University? Why do we have a cancer ministry? What is the purpose? The purpose of the outdoorsman ministry, and on and on and on. We're fishing, my friends. We're fishing. That's all we're doing around this place, because that is God's purpose for the church. He wants us to be fishing for men. And I'm telling you, in Matthew 28:19, he said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. Mark 16:15, again, he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. John 15:16, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Dr. Lee Robertson, he's with the Lord now, but he said many times that most Christians do more witnessing to the lost in the first 6 months they are saved than they do in the rest of their entire life. Now, why is that? Why is that? Could it be that because even though you've trusted Christ as your Savior and you know you ought to be following Christ, something's calling for your attention over here? And instead of making God the priority, you make something else the priority and you give God leftovers. It's happening all over the place. Have you ever been guilty of knowing that you need to be on soul winning, but you're doing something else instead? I got to mow the yard. Mow it next week, for crying out loud. You say, wait a minute, I've got to go there. I've got to do this. I understand a job. That's not what I'm talking about. But if you have to go to work, are you soul conscious? Why? Are you fishing at work? Are you fishing in the marketplace? Are you fishing in school, young people? Are you fishing for men? If you're not, you're not following Christ. And if you're not following Christ, it's probably because there's something that needs to be forsaken. Something or someone. Now, the fact is, Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And again, I know I've said it, but I'm emphasizing it again. This means that when one is truly following Christ, he will fish. And the reason for this is when you're following Christ, his purpose now becomes yours, you see. Now, what is his purpose? Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. The Bible says in John 10:10, the thief cometh but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come, Jesus said, that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. By the way, if you're saved today, somebody fished for you. You know that's the truth, don't you? It could have been a preacher preaching a message. It could have been a soul winner knocking on your door. It could have been a gospel track left somewhere. It could have been a television program that you watched. I don't know what it is, but I guarantee you some human being, God used another human being who was following him to fish for you. Now, how selfish are we when we have been caught not to try to catch somebody else? This is what he's saying. This is his proposal. Now, are you truly following Christ and fishing for men? Now, let me give you a sixth thing about the ministry of Jesus. Jesus' ministry not only involved proposal to follow him, but number six, Jesus' ministry involved people. Now we see this in verses 23 through 25. Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. His fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, and from Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond Jordan. Now, as we come to these verses, we see how the Lord went about all Galilee teaching, preaching, and healing. As a matter of fact, we see how he healed all manner of disease, in so much that his fame went throughout Syria, and great multitudes followed him from Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and even beyond Jordan. The point I'm trying to make is notice how often the word people is used. It's used in verse 23, verse 24, and verse 25. See, this goes to show that the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ involved people. Aren't you glad? I mean, for crying, you call folks, you be one. You understand that, don't you? Jesus' ministry involves people. He's interested in people. He loves people. He loves you tonight. This is his ministry. Somebody said this, the ministry would be great if people weren't involved. Now think about that statement. You ever heard that? Somebody said that, or basically said that. Oh, the ministry would be great if no people were involved. The ministry is people. That is the ministry. Jesus surrounded himself with people. He loved people. He cared about people. And if people were hurting, he wanted to be informed so he could take care of it. And I'm going to give you some things under this point because I've only got one more point to go, I think. Yes, one more point. But I want to give you several thoughts about people that come out about the ministry of Jesus. There's several of them. There's three of them. Number one, he turned away none that came to him. Look at verses 23 and 24. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing, notice this now, all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. Who's the them? The them is all. In other words, they brought unto him all those who were sick, all those who were palsy, all those who were lunatic, and he didn't turn away any of them. He healed every one of them. You know the Bible says in John 6:37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. The Bible says in Jeremiah 33:3, Jesus said this, call unto me, and I'll answer thee, and I'll show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Now, the last I checked, he's speaking to his children here. You're listening to me? That's everybody. He didn't say, hey, you ladies over here, you call unto me, but you men don't. No, he simply said, call unto me, and I will answer thee. Show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. See, the ministry of Jesus involved people. And under this, we see, first of all, he turned none of them away. Number two, no case was too hard for him. He didn't turn any of them away. And it didn't matter what they came to him with, he healed them. We see this again in verses 23 and 24. I mean, in verse number 23, he healing all manner of sickness, all manner of disease. Verse number 24, those that were taken with divers diseases and torments, those that were possessed with the devils, those that were lunatic, those that had the palsy. In other words, it didn't matter what they had, if they were demon-possessed, if they had the palsy, if they were lunatic, and the Bible just says all manner of diseases. They brought them to him. Guess what happened when he spoke? It obeyed. You know what this tells me? There is no case too hard for God. I don't care what it is. Now, I realize that you may be in an impossible situation seemingly. It may be that you're going through something that in your mind, you're like, how in the world? There's no way out of this. You are wrong. I'm not saying God will come and give you a miracle, but he can if he wants to. There is nothing too hard for God. The Bible says in Jeremiah 32:27, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? The Bible says in Mark 10:27, and Jesus looking upon them saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Isaiah 59:1, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. What is it that you're going through tonight? There may be something you're going through that nobody else in this world knows about, or maybe everybody knows about it. It might be a battle in your mind. It might be a battle in your heart. I don't know what it is. It might be something in public. It might be something in private. Be honest with you, it's none of our business. But you know what the lie the devil's going to try to tell you? You might as well give up. It's over. That's too big. It's too big for you. Sounds a whole lot like the Valley of Elah, if you ask me. All I'm saying to you is there's nothing too big for God. He can take care of anything, anytime, any place, anywhere, with anybody he chooses. That's our God. This is the second thing that we see under people. That he turned away none. There is no case too hard for him. And then number three, folks were hearing about him and coming to him from all over. We see this in verses 24 and 25. His fame went throughout all Syria. Then look at verse number 25. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and even beyond Jordan. His fame went abroad, and his following came from different regions. You know, this is still his desire today. He still wants people to hear about him all over the place. And he still wants great multitudes following him from Decapolis, Galilee, Jerusalem, Judea, Syria, and even beyond Jordan. He wants those who are here and those who are beyond to know that he's the answer to their problems. And he wants everybody to follow him. The Bible says in Mark 13, 10, and the gospel must first be published among all nations. The Bible says in Luke 24, 47, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. 2 Peter 3, 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ, has a desire that just like his fame was spreading abroad here to different regions, different areas, even beyond Jordan, and great multitudes started following him from Syria and Judea and Galilee and Decapolis and beyond Jordan, he still wants people to follow him from the regions beyond. I'll tell you one thing the Lord's laying on my heart. I'm sharing this in prayer meeting at 6 o'clock tonight. Something the Lord, I can't get away from this. Getting rest and all these kind of things, the Lord was just working in my mind. And something that I could not get away from, and I'm still thinking about this. Be honest with you, I don't know what the Lord's doing yet. But I'm going to tell you how he's working in my heart. He's working in my heart about the unreached people groups. He's working in my heart about those who have never heard the gospel. And he's working in my heart about the different zip codes in America who do not have a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, independent Baptist church. Now you say, Jody, what's he doing? I don't know what he's doing. But I'll tell you this, as your pastor, I can't get away from it. Now I don't know if he's trying to lead us into what missionaries to support, or if he's trying to show us that he wants us to help start a church there. I don't know what he's doing, but I'll tell you this, if he'll show us, we'll do it. Amen. I mean every last stitching word of that. I mean every stitch of that word. I mean every part of it. If he'll show us what to do, we will attempt to do it. I mean it. I hope you feel the same way about it. All I know is this, Jesus Christ, he deserves to be spread abroad. He deserves to have his name mentioned around the world. He deserves to have his name broadcast around America. What are we doing about it? What am I doing about it? What am I doing to reach this world? I don't know what God's doing, but I want in on it, whatever it is. And if he wants us to help start a church in that zip code, or if he wants us to send a team there, or go down there, or whatever, I'm telling you, this is what he's doing. He wants his precious son's name and his fame of his name to be spread abroad to where people from all over the place are coming to him from all directions. That's the will of God. God wants to save people. He wants to change their life. Can you imagine growing up in the deepest, darkest jungle and never one time hearing the name of Christ? Never hearing it. Now, there are some people, and I'm not trying to blast this, because I love these people, and really, I don't really know one of them personally. At least I hope I don't. Who would teach that the reason half the world's never heard is because that's God's will for that person. It's called hyper-Calvinism. You listening to me? We're not even that close to being a hyper-Calvinist. We're not even close to it. I still believe when God said preach the gospel to every creature that that's exactly what he meant, every creature. When he said preach them in all nations, he meant all nations. When he said I want everybody to hear about it, he wants everybody to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, he's working in my heart as the pastor of this wonderful church. What a blessing to be here. He's saying, Jody, what a church this is. Will you go forward? Can I trust you to go forward? Will you take a step of faith? I don't know what that step of faith is, but I'm going to tell you something. I want it. I want it. There's something here that God is working in my heart about. And I'm telling you, whatever it is, I want to help somebody hear the name of Jesus. I want to leave something behind whenever I'm dead and gone. Something for the glory of God's been left behind, that the word of God and the fame of the name of Jesus is still going strong. There's something that God is working in my heart about. Will you pray that God will show it to me? Because I don't know what it is yet, but I can't get away from it. I'm constantly thinking right now, what about that unreached zip code? What about that unreached people group? What about that man over there who's never heard the gospel? What about that 8-year-old boy, the same age as my son, who's never heard the name of Jesus Christ? What are you going to do for him? Will you go after him? Will you go after him? I'm telling you, this is what life's about. It's what life is about. The ministry of Jesus involved people. God loves people. For God so loved the world, and what he means, God so loved people that he gave his only begotten son. That includes you, my friends. Aren't you glad you were born in America if you were? Aren't you glad you heard the gospel? Aren't you glad Buffalo Ridge is here? Are you listening to me? We're not much, but we're preaching the word of God. We're trying to give the word of God for what it is. We're not better than that church or that church. I would never say something like that. But I'll tell you one thing. My heartbeat is to open the word of God and tell it to you straight. That's what it is. And it's God's will for our lives to be affected by the gospel and to be willing to forsake everything and follow him to the ends of the world. I'm working right now. I don't know if it'll come to fruition, but I'm working right now for a church-wide mission trip to Chile. You say, what are you talking about? I wasn't sure if I was going to take it, but Jason Holt, he was in our missions conference. You remember Jason, right? He's invited me by email to come down to Chile in July and do a youth conference and then preach and teach in the Bible college. And then right after that, he followed up with an email giving us some prices for a whole group to come if they want. So you know what I'm thinking? Boing, 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 boing. I've been wanting to take an adult mission trip and maybe even teenagers going along with us to go out of the country and see it. I will tell you one thing it'll do if you get out of the country. You can ask Brother Gary this. You can ask me this. You can ask other people who've seen it. When you get outside of America and you see what it's really like, you'll never be the same. You'll never be the same. You'll kiss American soil when you get back home. And at the same time, you will see for yourself the hungriness and the hunger that people have for the gospel. Now stay tuned on that, because that's not a guaranteed fact, but God willing, next week I'm hoping to have some announcements saying, here's how much it's going to cost. If you want to go, help yourself. And I hope many of you will go, if this is what the Lord wants. Now, by the way, none of that was in my notes. Preacher every now and then gets in a bad shape when he gets away from his notes, but I'm just saying God's ministry involved people. Hey, if he wasn't interested in people, we're in pretty bad shape, wouldn't you agree? He loves you tonight, and he wants you to help him reach others. Then there's a seventh and final thing. This is found in the book of Luke chapter 4. If you'll turn there quickly, Luke chapter 4, verse number 15. This is the same account, just a different human penman that the Holy Spirit used. Luke chapter 4, verse number 15. Jesus' ministry, it involved all of these things. It involved prophecy. It involved purpose. It involved power. It involved preaching. It involved proposal. It involved people. And then finally, it involved praise. And we see this in verse number 15 in Luke chapter 4. Look at it. Where the Bible says, "And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all." Now again, this is the same story. Verse 14, "Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all." Now, this word glorified means, what it means here is that those who were around him, he received their glory and their praise. We see in this that the one who deserved the praise of the people received it. Do you know he's the only one that deserves heartfelt praise? This is why whenever people sing and preach and teach and everything else, we strongly encourage them, don't do it so people will give you applause. This is why we don't applaud in this church. The reason we don't applaud in this church is it's because the applause, some people say, "Oh, give Jesus a hand." There's nothing wrong with that. I understand that. We don't ever get into the habit of applauding somebody's performance. It's not their performance. It's heartfelt praise to God. He's the one who deserves the praise. He's the one who deserves the honor. He's the one who deserves the glory. This is what we're talking about. We do not need to give our praise to anybody else or anything else, including somebody who's doing something good. That doesn't mean that you don't lift somebody up and honor to whom honor's due. I'm not talking about that, but there's a difference between honor and praise. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, if you honor them, great, you respect them, but if you praise them, it means that you're putting them in the place of God. And there's nobody in the place of God. For instance, Samson, it's interesting that when Samson gave in to his lust with Delilah, in the Valley of Sorek, remember, that eventually the Philistines came, put out his eyes, bound him, tied him up, carried him down to Gaza. They put him in the prison house, and he was grinding there. And then in Judges chapter 16, you don't need to turn to this for time's sake, but in Judges chapter 16, some of the most terrible verses, if you will, in the Word of God to me, is Judges 16, 23 and 24, which says, "Then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon, their god, and to rejoice. For they said, our God hath delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand. And when the people saw him, Samson, they praised their god. For they said, our God hath delivered into our hands our enemy and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us." Let me ask you a question. Was it Dagon that delivered Samson into their hands? Absolutely not. Dagon was dead. I mean, he wasn't alive. He's just a piece of stone, if you will, just sitting. He had no breath in him. But because Samson did not give his praise to God, now his life was giving praise to a false idol. Now I ask you a question. Who are you praising? Who are you praising with your music? Who are you praising with your attitude? Who are you praising with your work habit? Who are you praising with your prayer life? Who are you praising in your family? Who are you praising? You're praising somebody. Are you praising God? Psalm 7:17, "I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High." Psalm 107:15, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." The Bible says in Psalm 117:1, "Oh, praise the Lord, all you nations. Praise him, all you people." Psalm 150, verse 6, "Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord." Now, in this message, this morning and tonight, we have seen the ministry of Jesus on display for us. We saw how his ministry involved prophecy, involved purpose, involved power, involved preaching, involved proposal, involved people, and involved praise. I submit to you that his ministry still involves these same things. And I'm telling you that today his ministry will confirm the word of God, not contradict it. I propose to you that today his purpose is still what it was in Luke chapter 19, still what it was in Matthew chapter 4, that is to send great light in the darkness. I propose to you that his power is still what we need today in our life. His proposal is still open, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Will you forsake and follow and fish? I propose to you that his ministry still involves people. He loves you tonight, and he loves them, and he wants to use you to help reach them. And I propose to you that his ministry still involves praise. It is still the will of God for the name of Jesus Christ to be glorified from all. Now, what is God saying to you? This is one thing that I'm trying to help you now, because Bible facts are great, but you need to learn to take Bible facts and apply them to your life. What is God saying to you in this message? When you hear that his ministry involved prophecy, what's God saying to you? When you hear it involved purpose, what's he saying to you? Power, what's he speaking to you about? Proposal, what's he saying to you? Preaching, what's he saying? People, what's he saying? Praise, what's he saying? Is his purpose yours? Is his power yours? Are you preaching the same message he preached? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Are you truly following the Lord? Have you forsaken those things and that person in order to follow him? And are you fishing for men? Do you need the Lord's help? And he's reminded you that he can heal anything you have? Are you giving the Lord your praise? I don't know how God's dealing, but I know he's dealing. Let's let him deal with us, and then let's do business with him. The ministry of Jesus. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for your goodness to us. Help us this night to serve you. Help us this night to please you. Help us this night to glorify you. And I pray that you'll be honored and praised in everything that's said and everything that's done. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. As soon as they get prepared, they're going to begin to play through softly. But I wonder tonight, do you know Jesus as your Savior? See, the ministry of Jesus was people. Remember, that was one thing it involved. And if you're alive and kicking tonight, you're part of that ministry. Just like they brought all manner of disease and all manner of sickness and all those who were lunatic and all those who were possessed with devils, just like everybody that came to him, he healed them. He's calling out to you and saying, if you come to me, I will not cast you out. I'll save you. Is there one tonight say, Jody, I need to be saved. I need to know the Lord is my Savior. If that's you, why don't you come? Let us take a Bible. We'll share with you how you can know the Lord. Or maybe tonight God is speaking to you because, going back to this morning, you need his power in your life. Or maybe God's speaking to you because there's something or somebody that you need to forsake in order that you can follow, in order that he'll make you a fisher of men. Or maybe God's speaking to you about saying, Jody, I've not been doing much fishing lately for men. But God's speaking to me. I want to get my rod and reel out this week. And I want my hook to be a hook in this church that's out in the water fishing this week. You say, Jody, that's me. I don't know what God's saying to you. Maybe God's speaking to you about giving him your glory and your praise. Don't give it to somebody or something else. Give it to God. Or maybe you're one of those who, oh, you're saved, but there's something going on in your life, and maybe the devil's tried to get you to give up on it, and the sweet Holy Spirit has whispered, I can take care of it, just keep coming. I can take care of it, just keep coming. I don't know what God's speaking to you about, but will you do business? Will you obey? If you need to be saved, come on. Let's talk to the Lord. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, help us, take us now. Bless this service. Help people to respond in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's singing. If God is speaking to you, teenagers, adults, moms, dads, husbands, wives, whatever, as Brother Gary sings, if God's speaking, leave your place and come. As he sings,
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back.
Though world behind me, the cross before me.
Though world behind me, the cross before me.
The world behind me, the cross before me.
No turning back, no turning back.
I have decided. Well, I hope you mean it.
Follow Jesus.
I hope you mean it.
I have decided to follow Jesus.
I have decided to follow Jesus.
No turning back, no turning back.
They're playing through softly. Folks are praying. I'd like you to look this way just a moment. We're going to do our budget here in just a minute. The way I do it is fairly quick, so don't worry about it. You know what the devil says? God tells you to follow him, it'll be the worst thing you've ever done. He'll make you miserable. He'll make your fears come true. He'll send you to the deepest, darkest jungles of Africa. Some cannibal's going to be there waiting on you. You're not even going to be able to tell them the name Jesus. They're going to cut your head off and have you for supper. May I say something to you? How many of you all are a mom and dad? Would you raise your hand? You're a mom or dad? Sure. If your kid came to you and said, I want it, listen, from now on, it's whatever you want. Whatever you want. You tell me where to go. You tell me what to do. I'm at your disposal. Would you sit and say, boy, I got them now. I'm going to make their life miserable. I'm going to try to hurt them. I'm going to try to make them, I mean, their fears come true. They said, ha, 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 ha. No. You know as well as I do that if your child made that surrender to you, lock, stock, and barrel, you know what you'd do, don't you? You'd get everything out of their life that's harming them. You'd remove them from everything that's sucking life out of them. You would give them what they're really searching for. And you'd give them what their heart is crying for. Right? Now, why do we think we're better than God? Can I remind you what Brother Bob said Wednesday night about what Nathan said during VBS? When you hear the name devil, liar! He's a liar! And if he's speaking to you, he's lying to you. He's not telling you the truth. Let me give you a great way to live your life. Do whatever the devil tells you not to. And if he tells you don't do that, do it. And if he tells you do that, stay away from it. Because God is wanting to bless your life.